This is the Electronic Intifada Newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman, Associate Editor at the Electronic Intifada. It's day 418 of Israel's genocide in Gaza. Here's a brief summary of some of the latest developments in Gaza and Lebanon. Early this morning, a ceasefire came into effect between the Lebanese resistance and Israeli forces, following a deal that U.S. President Joe Biden said is intended to bring about a permanent cessation of hostilities. The ceasefire provides enormous relief for the people of Lebanon who have endured death, injury, loss, suffering, and displacement on a massive scale from Israel's indiscriminate bombing targeting villages and civilian neighborhoods. It came after the resistance led by Hezbollah effectively stopped Israel's ground invasion into Lebanon over the last 2 months and inflicted heavy losses on Israel's military over the last 14 months. The deal also raises many questions about the course of the confrontation between Israel and the resistance across the region, sparking concerns that Gaza faces a more difficult struggle without the support front in the north. The past few days brought heavy rains amid further forced displacement across Gaza as Israel's campaigns of systematic slaughter, destruction, and starvation in North Gaza is now in its eighth week. And airstrikes and massacres continue across all areas of the Gaza Strip. Journalist Hossam Shabbat, one of the only remaining reporters in North Gaza who was injured last week in an airstrike, returned to work. He stated on Sunday, quote, "Amidst the rain and the bullets, the suffering of the displaced is evident in their dilapidated tents in Gaza City, where pain is drowned in the details of daily life. Here in Yarmouk camp and the temporary shelters, the cold mixes with tragedy, making the tents vulnerable to flooding or bombing, which doubles the pain of the residents who have been robbed by the occupation of all the elements of a decent life. As I toured this place, the scene was indescribably painful. Barefoot children without shoes, bodies shivering from the cold with no clothes to protect them, and tents on the verge of collapsing on the first days of the depression. This is the life of the displaced, a suffering that never stops, caused by an occupation that continues to destroy everything, leaving behind an extended pain that words cannot describe." At least 120 people were killed in Israeli attacks in multiple areas across Gaza between Friday and Saturday, according to Palestinian health officials. Israeli forces continued their attacks on the Kamal Adwan Hospital in Beit Lahia, hitting the entrance of the emergency unit as well as in the hospital courtyard, wounding medical staff. On Friday night, the hospital's director, Hossam Abu Safia, said an armed Israeli drone attacked the entrance again, wounding three staffers. A baby in the neonatal intensive care unit died from a lack of oxygen after Israeli forces bombed and destroyed the oxygen station at the hospital, according to Dr. Abu Safia. The drone strikes came just days after dozens of Palestinians were killed and more than 100 injured when Israel attacked the hospital, targeting displaced families who sought safety after the Israeli destruction of a residential neighborhood in northern Gaza, according to Hossam Shabbat on November 20th. According to Al Jazeera, Abu Safia said that ongoing Israeli bombardment appeared aimed at forcing hospital staff to evacuate, something they've refused to do since the Israeli incursion began 6 weeks ago. On Saturday, November 23rd, Hossam Abu Safia was severely injured in an Israeli attack. The Gaza government media office stated that after weeks of relentless attacks on the hospital, Israeli forces directly targeted Abu Safia, quote, when he left the operating room and headed to his office, which led to his direct injury in a horrific crime that shames humanity and was a cowardly assassination attempt. Speaking to the media from his hospital bed, Abu Safia said, quote, we will continue to provide care no matter the cost. Until now, we are pleading to the world and will carry on with the hope that there is collective consciousness. I was hit while I was doing my job, and that's an honor for me to get injured while being in this place. There's nothing more precious than the blood of the medical staff doctors, and nurses. But this will not stop us. We will continue to provide a humanitarian service at a place known to the whole world. We will provide it, God willing, no matter what it takes, even if it costs us our lives. We remain steadfast. We will provide the service in front of this whole world who let us down, this evil and oppressing world taking our rights away. On Sunday, Dr. Abu Safia stated that his condition has worsened and said that he is in need of an urgent consultation with a vascular surgeon due to the intensity of bleeding at the site of the injury. He said that there are at least 6 pieces of shrapnel that penetrated his thigh, causing possible tears in the blood vessels and veins. Because of Israel's ongoing denial of entry to medical specialists, providers, or even paramedics into North Gaza, Dr. Abu Safia warned that his life and the lives of his patients remain at serious risk. Speaking to the Palestinian Health Ministry in Gaza, Dr. Abu Safia said on Sunday, quote, "It is evident that a new weapon has been introduced by the Israeli army, specifically a quadcopter that drops bombs containing tiny fragments that are nearly invisible to the naked eye. These projectiles penetrate the bodies of our workers, causing severe bleeding and damage to internal organs." Medical staff held a protest with Abu Safia in his hospital room to protest Israel's nonstop attacks on the hospital and everyone inside and around it. In Gaza City on Sunday night, Israel issued new forced displacement orders to the thousands of families sheltering in the area. A local physician, Dr. Izzedine, stated that, quote, "In the dead of night, under a relentless downpour, families packed what little they could carry and began their journey on foot. The rain mixed with tears as parents shielded their children from the cold, their eyes filled with unanswered questions." The United Nations Agency for Palestine Refugees documented the scene at a school that has been turned into a shelter in Gaza City on Sunday, with families lining up in the pouring rain for medical care at a UN field clinic. In central Gaza, the United Nations reported that at least 40 families lost their shelters and belongings after a school in Nusayrat refugee camp was bombed on Friday. 7 people were killed and more than 20 injured in the attack. The Israeli army bombed the Al-Farouk Mosque in Nusayrat on Saturday. More than 800 mosques have been destroyed by the Israeli army in Gaza since October 2023. Israeli forces also bombed homes in the nearby Burej refugee camp on Saturday night, killing 2 girls. Al Jazeera reporter Hani Mahmoud stated that the girls were killed inside a home and were, quote, "part of a displaced family in the central area after their home was already bombed in northern Gaza and they were pulled from under the rubble. Their father, who survived these attacks, is in hospital getting treated, but is in a difficult condition." Mahmoud added that, quote, "another attack on a tent in Maghazi refugee camp affected a family that has already endured the trauma of losing their house that was destroyed in an air attack, leaving them all homeless. The tent was attacked by at least 1 drone missile." And in southern Gaza, 3 Palestinian children and 4 adults were killed in an Israeli bombing in Khan Yunis on Saturday. At least 3 journalists were killed in Gaza this week. The Gaza government media office stated on Saturday that Wael Ibrahim Abu Kafa was killed. He was a lecturer in the journalism and media department at the Islamic University of Gaza and was a reporter with the Holy Quran Radio, the university's radio station. 2 other journalists, Mahmoud Al-Khatib and Abdul Rahim Al-Tahrawi, were killed in an Israeli airstrike in Gaza City on November 20th. We've published many features on the Electronic Intifada in the last week, but we wanted to highlight excerpts of this one by Malik Hijazi on the repeated invasions and attacks on Jabalia refugee camp in northern Gaza. Malik writes, Quote, when the Israeli army once again returned to commit atrocities in Gaza's Jabalia refugee camp, I was overwhelmed with anxiety. What do they want from this devastated place? This is now the third invasion. What more is there to destroy? Why Jabalia camp? Is it because of its dense population, its status as the largest refugee camp in size in the Gaza Strip, or the poverty of its people? And which place will be targeted next? Life in Jabalia was already unbearable, with families crammed into small, dilapidated homes, struggling to meet basic needs under the weight of occupation. But now it has become impossible. Bombs fall relentlessly, children are killed in their sleep, and those who survive find themselves with nowhere to go. The very notion of refuge has been stripped away from the people of this refugee camp, who live in constant terror, waiting for the next explosion to shatter their already broken world. What is happening now weighs especially heavily on the hearts of Jabalia's residents, as this is not their first experience with such devastation. Generations have endured evacuation, loss, and destruction, each event etching deep scars into the collective memory of the community. The trauma is palpable. Families not only remember the past, but also brace for an uncertain future. What angers and frustrates me about what is happening in Jabalia isn't just the scale and brutality of the crime. It's the fact that Israel returned. Again and again, Israel comes back to inflict the same horrors. The world often portrays this genocide as a conflict with a clear trajectory leading to some endpoint, suggesting a red line that would never be crossed. Yet Israel's war on Gaza is cyclical, repeating patterns of violence without any sign of resolution and with widespread silence from numerous governments. What does it mean to normalize genocide? It means accepting it as an ordinary part of life, requiring no justification or explanation. Is this the future we are facing? Endless violence, displacement as on a human chessboard, and unrelenting famine. In this place of unimaginable suffering, I can't help but wonder, what does Israel want from us? They have taken our land, our homes, our families, and our lives. What more is left to take? That's from Palestinian Intergenerational Trauma and Israeli Bombs Strike Jabalia by Malik Hijazi on electronicintifada.net. Turning northwards toward Lebanon, Israel has continued to attack parts of Beirut, bombing entire residential buildings to the ground. On Friday, Israeli airstrikes destroyed an apartment building in southern Beirut. Al Jazeera compiled this video from multiple angles. Similar strikes on other parts of the city continued throughout the weekend. Lebanon's health ministry said that at least 29 people were killed and nearly 70 injured when Israel bombed a building at 4 a.m. on Saturday morning in Beirut's Basta al-Faqwa neighborhood. The state's national news agency reported that the pre-dawn attack was carried out without any warning from the Israeli military. The national news agency said that Israeli warplanes, quote, completely destroyed an eight-story residential building with five missiles. The Associated Press noted that the Beirut attacks came after a day of heavy bombardment of the city's southern suburbs and the southern coastal city of Tyre, or Sur. Lebanese political analyst Amal Saad, who has been a guest on this program, posted video of the aftermath of the bombing. Saad said, quote, this video shows my grandmother's house this morning, where my cousin Ali was sleeping. Miraculously, he survived after being pulled from under the rubble. The house was next to the site of Israel's massive 4 a.m. strike in Basta, which reportedly used six bunker buster bombs, supposedly to kill a senior Hezbollah commander. Hezbollah denies any officials were killed, but the rising toll is devastating so far. At least 15 civilians dead and 63 injured. This strike cannot be justified under international humanitarian law, breaching the principles of proportionality and military necessity. Even if the targeted official were present, Hezbollah has consistently demonstrated its capacity to swiftly replace leaders and sustain operations. This is evident to its continued ability to block Israel's advances into South Lebanon while launching daily missile and drone attacks on Israel. Strikes like this, which result in mass casualties, cannot be justified as they fail to provide any tangible military advantage for Israel. Later in the day on Saturday, Israel bombed a hospital in Baalbek, killing medical staff, including the hospital's director. Reporter Simona Fulton describes the scene and relentless attacks on medical points.
We're in Baalbek in the Beqaa Valley at the location where an Israeli strike killed the director of the Dar al-Amal Hospital, Ali Alam, alongside six others yesterday at 6 p.m. They were sitting over here enjoying the evening when the missile struck. You can see some bereaved relatives over there trying to cope with the loss, which is felt among the people of Baalbek. And this comes just days after another Israeli strike targeted the civil defense, killing more than a dozen people. There's a feeling here that these strikes are not accidents, that they're very much intentional, aimed at institutions and people like Ali Alam, who are critical for sustaining civilian life, with the objective of depopulating this region.
Of course, the resistance in Lebanon has been hitting back hard at Israeli targets, including a series of strikes on Tel Aviv. Finally, as we always do, we wanted to share images of people expressing defiance and resilience in the face of Israel's widening campaign of destruction. This week, a video taken by a mother in North Gaza shows her children's surprise when she offers them the first fruit they've been able to find and eat in a year. The joy on their faces is immeasurable.
يعني أول مرة من سنة تقريبا بس
نعم إيش موز
يوم
ما
هذا
موز كلمتي إيش
هذا موز
كلمتي يا تبعوض حضني وانت
ندفع أكل
استني
فواكه
مزقفة
And that's it for the news roundup. As always, go to electronicintifada.net for much more, especially to read our new features by our brave writers in Gaza. You've been listening to the Electronic Intifada's newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman. Want to hear more? Check out our live stream with interviews, reports, and analysis, along with print articles, podcasts, and more at electronicintifada.net. Produced by Nora Barrows-Friedman, Tamara Nassar, and Pierre Loisel.